Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm going to be speaking to a number of people who are actually involved and who have inside knowledge about what is happening at Brightbridge. Joining me on the line right now is the Managing Director at Sediba Clearing. Her name is Lynn Buerta, and she joins me on the line right now. Good morning, Lynn. How are you? Hello? Lynn, are you with me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Kathy.
That's good. Lynn, give us a sense, because, you know, obviously you are directly involved in freight forwarding and, you know, with freight. What is the reality on the ground? Give us a sense of the realities.
Yeah, Kathy, fortunately this week is a lot better than last week. But if I may, I will just go back to the last 20 days just to give your listeners a sense of what it was like for people on the ground. We have had drivers moving through from level 5 because, of course, you've got essential trade, which, of course, road freight within Southern Africa is one of them because the SADC region is poorly fed by a rail network, so trucks are essential.
Yeah.
But I think when people consider trucks, and I mean government people mostly, when people consider trucks, they don't actually remember that inside of each truck is a live, breathing human being that goes through everything that you put the vehicle through. So the past 20 days from the beginning of December was very heartrending, especially for all of us that work around here and have a great affinity with our drivers. We understood and we did point out to the government officials that man the border post and make decisions sitting behind desks in Pretoria with air cons. We did bring to their attention that December is notoriously hot. December is also notoriously busy. Every year we have a similar scenario. So we did point out all of these things to them, but in their wisdom, it was decided that not in level 5, 4, 3, 2, but in level 1, they would start not just screening, but testing drivers at a port health facility that was very badly manned because Messina is the furthest north outpost of South Africa, so we're not overrun with government officials or with health officials. So we had a fairly badly manned health department that was screening all public and all commercial drivers at the same time through one single entry, because we have single entry gates and single exit gates at this very busy border post. Our infrastructure is fairly bad. So we had all of these things happening, and of course we grew a queue of about 20 odd kilometers within Zimbabwe. And their border town is a little different to Messina town. Their border town is literally right at the border. And Messina town is 15 Ks away. But our queue was through our town, so that meant that it was also in the region of about 22 kilometers. Over the last week, we had a lot of smaller cars and many Zimbabwean people and Malawian people and Zambian people that were dying to get out of South Africa and
literally in some cases
visit their families.
Yeah.
So we had that scenario. So we had all of those people joining a queue of commercial people that were already trying to get the last pushes of groceries, essentials, toys, etc., into the SADC region. So we had a conglomeration of huge amount of trucks and a huge amount of private passengers. We had no toilets along the side of the road. We had no water bowsers. We had no sanitary facilitation. We had absolutely nothing. Most of the time there wasn't even traffic police or anybody trying to keep the traffic in trim. So what you'd have is you'd have the guys arriving maybe around 8 o'clock or so, traffic police in the morning, trying to sort out the mess that had grown during the evening because nobody was around to monitor them, and everybody just pushed towards the border gates. So the southbound queue from Zimbabwe wasn't allowed to move in because the northbound queue had taken up all the road lanes. And it was about 46 degrees with humidity like we haven't experienced in a long, long time at Messina. So you were having a lot of people really, really struggling with all the health aspects of heat exhaustion and so on.
Sure.
We had, as I'm sure you know from the other media channels, some totally unacceptable and unnecessary deaths.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people really struggling. There are no trees along this route. And like I say, at 46 degrees with humidity of over 80%, it wasn't comfortable for anyone. We couldn't get to work. We had to use an external road that should be for the army vehicles alone. Hmm. We managed to get dispensation. Yeah, we managed to get dispensation for that. But I mean, in one instance, I'm not sure, can I just mention one instance of one of the truck drivers?
Sure.
What happened to him?
Sure, and then I want to talk about the protocols as well. Like what was it that was causing the delay? So tell us about this truck driver.
Yeah, the poor guy was fairly oldish. I mean, he's one of the truck drivers that's been on the route for many years. Started feeling really dreadful. Put his aircon on and was running his truck. But as I'm sure you know, you couldn't even do that with a car for many hours and it wouldn't be okay. So he started to feel really bad. He phoned his wife. She contacted all of the employers. They scrambled, tried to get the police, the ambulance. They were just told that there was no route for the ambulance to get to him.
Oh, God.
And I mean, a totally unnecessary and heart-rending scenario. The gentleman died of heat exhaustion in his vehicle. And because there was no route through, nobody could get to him before that. His employer managed to contact a local person in Messina that literally went like an ant in a small car in and out of the traffic and got to him about 10 minutes before he passed. So at least he didn't die alone. And it took about 5.5 hours for the coroner's van to be able to collect him. Nearly 5 hours.
This is just a disaster. So what were the protocols that have put, firstly, is it only on the South African side of the border that this is happening?
No, it's not, Kathy. Our border post, like I say, the infrastructure on both sides is not complementary to the number of trucks that pass through this border post on a daily and weekly basis.
Okay.
Since COVID, we've also seen like a seasonal wave effect, we call it, because it seems like every single truck on the South African planet heads northbound at the same time, and then they all get loaded and head southbound at the same time. It's not like we've got an ease of movement of traffic regularly. So it's sort of like a wave effect. We have traffic moving into Zimbabwe that comes sort of through the week.
Yeah.
And that can cope with. But then when you get the huge waves of trucks, Zimbabwe is currently having their whole border post infrastructure redone. And when they're finished, it's going to be absolutely stunning. It will be like some first world kind of electronic paradise, and all of us in South Africa are so jealous of the fact. But in the in the meantime, though, it's taking up parking space. It's creating bits and pieces of hassles with all the infrastructure repair and building that has to take place. So it is definitely a choke point. And like the South African border post has only single entry and single exit.
Yeah.
So that's the infrastructure without the official bits and pieces and processes that go on within that very hamstrung infrastructure.
Yeah, Lynn, let's just talk about those processes. I mean, if so a truck driver traveling from South Africa to Zimbabwe gets stopped at the border post, what are the processes that they normally have to follow, and what are the processes that have been added to that or the protocols in order to manage COVID-19?
Yeah, Kathy, normally every single truck driver, whether they're north or southbound, should be pre-cleared. In other words, they're cleared on both sides of the border post, South Africa and Zimbabwe, whether they're traveling north or southbound. There's a very good network of clearing agents and forwarders in all the SADC countries, and we all share documentation with each other. So on loading, we'll get the documentation.
By the way, if you've got any questions, you're welcome to send them through on 34519. I'd love to hear your comments about, you know, what's been happening and perhaps how you see it. You know, perhaps you've been affected about, perhaps you were going to be traveling through to Zimbabwe at this time. I'd love to hear from you on 34519. That's the SMS line. Or you can send me a telegram on 061-895-1019. Okay, Lynn, you feeling all right?
Thanks, Kathy. Yes, okay. Sorry,
no problem. Okay, I'm just looking at the time, and we are going to be running out of time. So if you can just kind of condense it a little bit.
All right.
Let's just get that freight forwarded.
Pre-clearances are done. So the trucks are virtually cleared on both sides of the border. And it should be a very smooth movement. What happened initially was that Zimbabwe started with health screening, which they set up on the single lane bridge. So that started causing a backblast into SA. And then the 1st of December, South African Port Health decided to start screening southbound. They also set that up on the bridge coming into South Africa. So we had a backblast into Zimbabwe.
So you got double screening on both sides.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to be honest, the guys at SARS and Home Affairs really put in a lot of manpower and slimlined their processes. And we had a lot of, we had a lot of assistance from the port manager, who's from SAPS, Colonel Ratsalani. And she was trying her level best. She was literally out in the N1 traffic with some of us traders, trying to make sure that we kept the queues honest and only trucks that had their full sets of documentation on the N1 to try and alleviate the traffic. But you've got other government departments that are available at all of these border posts, like Port Health, Department of Agriculture, each of them with their own processes. And unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of assistance from those two sets of departments. Mm. And for private travelers, it was a nightmare for them to try and get through, because you've got taxis and buses with between 20 and 40 people trying to be helped at the same time through one point with maybe 2 to 3 people screening. So it became a total nightmare. And as always, there was no support from anyone local in trying to get water or portable toilets set up along the side of the road, just to try and alleviate the issues that we have this side.
Unbelievable. Lynn, that is unfortunately where we have to leave it this morning. But thank you so much for chatting to me and giving us a, you know, giving us a sense of what the realities were on the
Thanks
road.
Very
As
much,
you say,
Kathy.
Things are better. So thank you so much. And to you and your colleagues, I wish you all the best and good luck for the return of all of these people.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. That's the Managing Director at Sediba Clearing, Lynn Buerta.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.